Maria Jendrick in Fort Collins contacted me several months ago and asked me to give a talk on propagation. I turned around to my right-hand man, Dave Smith, who does all of our propagation, and he put this presentation together for me. So my role was just a few minor edits. We do all kinds of propagation in the hazelnut breeding program at OSU. Hazelnut is important on the world market, and currently demand far exceeds supply. Average worldwide production is 870,000 metric tons. Turkey is the biggest producer, followed by Italy, and then Oregon. Oregon produces 99% of the U.S. crop and about 5% of the world crop. We had, 10 years ago, about 29,000 acres, and today we have about 65,000 acres, mostly planted with new eastern filbert blight-resistant varieties developed by the OSU breeding program. So there's been a demand for lots of trees in a short time. So, yeah, that is what the problem, the challenge is. Hazelnut, the species we grow, is the European species, Corylus avellana, which naturally grows as a multi-stem shrub. We force it to grow as a single trunk tree in commercial orchards to make the orchard management much easier. This involves removing the suckers or burning the suckers back with herbicides several times during the growing season. We do not have rootstocks in our orchards. These are all self-rooted trees. On the left is Polly Owen. Polly O, our latest release, is named after her. So you can see on the left, suckers burnt with herbicides. And on the right, if you don't get there with the herbicides soon enough, they grow fairly quickly. I think the typical grower burns with herbicide probably four times during the growing season. Okay, Dave put together this presentation, and there are lots of ways that you can propagate hazelnuts. And I will be going through these one at a time. Simple layerage, the traditional method, produces trees with very large caliper trunks. Rooting is quite variable, some heavily rooted, some not so well rooted. Roots are often on just one side of the stem, not all around the stem. Some cultivars have brittle wood, and they break when you try to root them using simple layerage. And it takes a lot of land to produce not so many trees. So here's a figure from our propagation book. In the top, you have the suckers, which are there in April, produced the previous season. And in the spring, you bend the tips over, you put the tip in the ground, and the very tip is above ground. And during the growing season, the shoot elongates and roots form on the bottom. I call that the umbrella handle. The roots form at the bottom of the umbrella handle. And the following year is when it's harvested and sorted and sold. Today, almost nobody uses simple layerage. It's rather difficult for the number of trees you get, and as people get older, their backs don't hold out for harvesting the trees from the mud. Okay, large land use. Let's go back. The second method is mound layerage or tie-off layerage. It's related to the previous method, except that the shoots are not bent. The shoots remain standing straight up. You remove the bottom leaves. You girdle the base of the stem with a hog ring staple or a wire. Spray the base with rooting hormone, and then harvest the suckers at the end of the growing season. So you have nice roots all around the stem. One disadvantage listed at the bottom here is that if you girdle every single sucker on the plant year after year after year, the vigor of the mother plant goes down. So you really need something left there to feed energy to the mother plant. There's a figure on the left. You can see the hog ring staples being put on with a staple gun. We do a lot of this in the summer. Spraying the base of the suckers with rooting hormone, and then covering the base with sawdust. And the tar paper ring there holds the sawdust in place. And we water a few times during the summer to keep the sawdust moist. And then in mid-December, we go out and harvest the layers. And this shows the kind of rooting that we get on these tie-off layers. We prefer the two on the left and make the others disappear. Tie-off layering, these are Dave's tips. Hog ring staples must completely encircle the sucker. If they're not girdled, they don't root. There's only one labeled rooting hormone, but any IBA works just fine. We have Douglas fir sawdust that we are in the Pacific Northwest, so that's what our local sawmills produce. But other types of sawdust work well. And we do have dry summers, so we have to water the sawdust to keep it moist. Another trick that's listed at the bottom here is you need to prune the tree if you're rooting suckers from a tree to let the sunlight into the suckers. Otherwise, they don't grow and don't root. Micropropagation has become routine in hazelnut, and it's really the only way that we've been able to increase the numbers of trees to meet the demand of our growers. We're still not meeting the demand of growers, which are 500,000 new trees per year. But micropropagation certainly helps us get there. Micropropagation of new eastern filbert blight-resistant varieties. You have the usual problems with contamination. Hazelnuts don't like to grow in vitro for several months, very slowly, and then all of a sudden they take off. Hazelnuts grown in vitro don't produce branches. They only grow one direction, straight up. So multiplication is cutting that shoot into pieces and subculturing. We are lucky if we get a threefold increase between subcultures. Five is really dreaming. We've got Jefferson. That does five, but most of them don't do that much. And then you have to acclimate ex vitro, propagate, get them to root and continue growing. So recently I took a group to North American Plants near McMinnville, and Shirley here showing us the culture room and the acclimation chamber after they come out of culture. You can see some don't grow so well, but she has a green thumb and she works on it and gets them to grow. Bottom right is the plantlets right before they get transferred into 1 gallon pots. But it's now routine, and we have 6 micropropagators who do this every year, and we have other nurseries that continue the grow out to produce trees for our farmers. Micropropagated trees, when they are grown in commercial orchards, produce more suckers. They have a lot more buds there right below the soil line. The trees are shorter and smaller in caliper than those that are propagated by traditional means. You have to stake them up to get them to stand up, otherwise they're top heavy or the wind will blow them over. They're a little bit more juvenile, but that's not such a bad thing because you don't want nuts in the third leaf. You'd rather wait until the fourth. They are good for establishing layer beds. You have juvenile material, goes into layer bed, and they root very easily from tie-off layerage. Dave is also my master grafter, and this work was traces back to the work of Harry Lagerstedt, who worked for USDA mostly in the 1970s and developed what some people call the Lagerstedt pipe, or the hot callusing pipe. And the critical thing with hazelnut is you have dormant cyanwood, you have dormant rootstock, and you use the hot callusing pipe to keep the graft union warm. And as soon as it heals over, you can grow it out. Can be done routinely, either in a heated greenhouse or in a cold room with the pipe. Not very commonly used anymore, but we in the breeding program do a lot of grafting for disease inoculations. So Dave has his secrets up here, how to store the cyanwood, typically 0°C or -1°C, keep it dormant, collect it before Christmas, and do the grafting in typically April. And there are machines that can make the graft cuts Dave does it whip and tongue with a sharp knife. So here's his sharp knife. There's a grafted tree with the tape wrapped around the graft union. And on the far right is one of the machines that can make the cuts for you. Hot callousing pipe in an unheated building. There's lots of designs, lots of variations on the common theme. You can propagate in a warm greenhouse. You can propagate in a cold, unheated barn. As long as you keep that graft union warm, it will callus over, heal, and the plant will grow. The grafted trees are typically on the pipe for 3 weeks and then moved off. And then the next batch goes on the hot callousing pipe. So a nursery, if they're serious about this, can do 3 or 4 batches per winter. The really serious ones have hot water systems that circulate hot water through the pipe. The cheaper versions have a heating cable that goes through the pipe, and the notches are cut out. That's where the individual trees go. The graft union fits right in there on the hot cable. That's Verl Holden. He has the hot water system up near Silverton. Dave's secrets here was used extensively before micropropagation became routine. It's used not only for hazelnut, but there's a whole list of species that respond very well to the hot callousing system. Okay, other comments you can read there. Dave has also taken the idea out into the field, collecting scions and doing grafting later. And the secret here is the temperature. If you collect scions before Christmas, keep them at -1°C until April, when the weather forecast said it's going to be warm. Then you go out there and prepare to do grafting in the field. And as long as the graft union is warm for a certain number of days, you will be successful. If you try to graft in the field in January, you'll get 0% take. So here's some of his grafting work, the black tape that captures the sunlight energy and keeps the graft union a little bit warmer. Another graft union, 6 weeks after grafting, you can see the white arrow. 12 weeks after grafting, you have to look hard to even find the graft union then. So this has been useful for grafting pollinizers into orchards that were planted without pollinizers, for example. Cuttings, been a lot of studies over decades. Traditional softwood and hardwood cuttings are not reliably successful. You can often get rooting, but then the shoot tips abort, and you have a rooted cutting but no growing point, and so it eventually dies. One secret that he shares with you is if you've got little plantlets from micropropagation and they put out side shoots, those you can root directly. Very juvenile tissue that will root under mist. And Dave shares a couple of references, and he invites you to contact him by email. It's great to have as a research assistant. Our work is supported in large part by the Oregon hazelnut industry, has been for decades. And after decades of support, they're finally seeing the payback on the investment. So they're with a more than doubling of the acreage of hazelnut in Oregon, they're thinking that they finally got their money's worth. Well, thank you. I'd be glad to try to answer any questions. Ryan.
You mentioned some issues with micropropagated trees. I'm wondering how old are the first micropropagated trees, those orchards? I'm just wondering if it's
had
any impact on the longevity of the orchards.
The oldest orchards established from micropropagation would be Yamhill orchards, and the trees probably would have been planted 2005, 2006. We have a lot of Jefferson orchards planted with micropropagated trees, and they look great. I have not seen detriments other than they do produce more suckers.